Okay, now there's also this property called Longren. Let's revisit it. It's a pretty ambitious property.
That's the one I said was a five-part book and probably theatrical series if it gets made. On the flag of Wales, there's a red-backed, scaly, black-bellied tusker batwing dragon. In my head, that creature is Longren. Longren is there because he's associated with the legends of King Arthur. King Arthur, who may only be a legend to a lot of people, there's more and more evidence that such a character might have really existed. In those years since 1961, I have researched this thing pretty thoroughly. When I won that Global Entertainment Award and they asked me about the company, which is Otherworld Cottage Industries, I thought the three pictures that would best tell that story would be a picture of Adam in his studio, a picture of Billy Bryan holding the dragon.
He was in Ghostbusters.
Oh, he was the Marshmallow Man. Yeah. But that's when he really got started in Hollywood. Of course, since then, he's worked on Jurassic Park and everything. But he was holding the new dragon, the white dragon, not painted yet. And so I took a picture of him in his little studio. And then the next picture is me in my office, another location, with the dragon over my head. Now, the purpose of that was to illustrate cottage industry.
There's a novel that's being done, and you have this ability to do this weaving thing of past, present, and future, entwining them, for lack of a better word.
That's in Morningstone.
You've revisited and posted your Morningstone screenplay. Mm-hmm. It's kind of source material for your novel, Changeling's Return. But, I mean, more mystical encounters, more CD music. But just talk a little bit about Changeling's Return, because we addressed it earlier. But there's songs and there's legacy and there's a rock band in this thing. Plus, doesn't the birth go back to as early as 1973?
Yes. When I first started to form a new group, when I moved into Hollywood, I tried to put together a band we called Magic. And I wrote some of this music especially for it. It was for the opening, the march was there, and the fog was on the deck, and the lights were there, and the whole thing. And I emerged from the fog. And then I sing The Fool, which was my introduction to myself. And then things like The Stranger were part, because it was sort of an occult thing, just as a rock band, just as a performance, heading toward, I hoped, an album that would be about that. Okay, that band didn't work out because I couldn't hold it together, because people have to eat and they have to live, and it would take them too long to learn. And in those days, I didn't write notation.
But there ends up being a Changeling Troupe music archive out of
this.
Yes,
there is. I was no longer trying to put together a group.
See, all the efforts really aren't in vain.
No, I found, again, a group of really fine musicians. The deal was...
Is David Pinto on this stuff?
He came in on it, yeah.
And David Pinto, I know, played with Ray Charles and a bunch of people.
He's the real thing. And he also founded the Academy of Music for the Blind. He's a wonderful person.
Okay, so you're picking up bits and pieces and it's all coming together, but you have this troupe.
Yes. I was going to produce an album. They would be the ones who play on the album. And then I would sell or market or do something with it as an independent album producer, to get a distribution deal, and then maybe we'd be a band. We weren't trying to, do something to end up doing shows. I wanted them to learn each song, and every 2 weeks or so, we'd go into Conway Studios and record the next five or six. It was. He originally made the deal with me, Phil Yen. When he saw how big and long it was, he assigned it to Buddy Brundo, who later owned the studio, and Buddy did a fabulous job.
Yes.
So the Changeling Troupe held together. We did rehearsals. Sometimes it was only three of them, sometimes only four of them. But everybody learned the stuff by the time the next session came up. I ran out of money, but I had a lot of good material, and I thought that I could promote that into a deal. Turned out I couldn't, and that's because those other two things had failed, because the Phantom of the Paradise tanked, and so did Rocky Horror Picture Show on television. So nobody was interested at that time.
But you know what? Max Schulman was brought to your attention by
Melody,
his
one
stepdaughter.
Of the gals. Yeah,
one of the gals. But it's interesting. Isn't he a guy that viewed this property kind of along the lines of Joseph Campbell's, you know, Hero with a Thousand Faces?
He's the one who told me about Hero with a Thousand Faces. It was interesting. When I got there, he'd read it. And the first thing he said is to his wife, he says, "Melody's brought home a Luddite." I didn't know what the hell a Luddite was. But Luddites was a name given to British workers who were losing their jobs to machines and stuff, and they went around breaking stuff.
Yes.
And it is commonly used to describe people who are anti-technology. Well, I wasn't. I was embracing all the new technology for film and sound. But I didn't argue with him because, A, I was his guest, and B, I didn't know what a Luddite was. So anyway, then he says, but what he liked about it was that obviously I, you know, based it on Hero with a Thousand Faces because that part was really good. And I didn't know Hero. He said, "Joseph Campbell's Hero with a Thousand Faces." I said, "I hadn't heard of it." "What do you mean you haven't heard of it?" He couldn't believe it. And then he broke one of his cardinal rules. He took the book off the shelf and handed it to me. He said, I think he said, "Under pain of death if you don't return this."
Wow.
But he loaned me his copy of Hero with a Thousand Faces. And I went home and I read it and I gave it to Melody and she returned it to him. And I went to the store and bought my own copy. And once you asked me what were the things that influenced me, and obviously that was one of them.
Why was Campbell, or why is Joseph Campbell, a major influence on your work?
First of all, he's a folklorist and a mythologist. He has studied and taught that for years.
But didn't he have like a life till 30, 35, or 40 where he was sort of a normal guy? This stuff all kind of shows up later in his life.
Well, he was a professor at Sarah Lawrence.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he was, and he was instrumental in making a lot of young ladies understand what the world was about, right? But he also did The Masks of God, a TV series that came out in a book. And he was also a confidant of
George Lucas.
George Lucas
put him up at the ranch.
Yes.
And the Grateful Dead also, helped him out or supported him.
I would have loved to meet him, but I never did. He died before I could.
Mm-hmm.
But his book influenced me because it was about mythology, it was about folklore, and it was dealing with the hero's journey in a way that I understood it. Obviously, I'd written it in my story before I ever heard of Joseph Campbell. So I had an affinity for him. I had an affinity for Carl Jung. I had an affinity for Robert Graves. Those people spoke to me in my innermost being. And so my stuff is colored by them. They are three of the big influences.
I guess after Changelings Returns is published, you're going to go right into this Lohengrin saga.
Absolutely.
And tell me a little bit about that.
A knight of Arthur's court. He's trying to keep notes, and his Latin is lousy. He's not a good writer or anything. And he sees this young monk about to be hanged because he was playing around with the bishop's daughter. So he buys him, and he makes him his squire. And he's the one who starts writing all the notes that this guy is telling him. And it's the guy's recollections. They come from wherever they come from, of this event, that event, and so on. That's in this present, which is to say around 550 AD. Now, up north, a couple of hundred years later, there's a guy called the Venerable Bede. And the Venerable Bede has an abbey, the most famous in the world at that time. And he is gathering information and resources from all around the world because he's got an ocean at his door. And he writes, eventually, the ecclesiastical history of Britain. Now, ecclesiastical history is, it's the history told as if God dictated it.
Mm-hmm.
Because to him, the depredations of the Vikings, that was part of God's plan to punish them for not being good and holy. And just before he dies, he doesn't know he's about to die, he's coming back from a meeting in York where he's been talking to his old friend who just got elevated to something. And his old friend says, "By the way, I've heard of a manuscript in the South that may interest you." He says, "I understand it's quite a large work." He says, "But it's about the period you're writing about where there's so little information, you know, you might want to investigate it. Well, Bede has to go back to where he's from. And he's on his way back, and of course, it's a long trip. He stops overnight at a smaller monastery where he meets a young monk who is just as bright as can be. He speaks Celtic language, he speaks Latin beautifully, and he speaks Saxon. Wow, this kid is a dynamo. And he says he wants to engage him to go south and find this manuscript and let him know what's in it and whether or not it's something he should put in his book. So he sends the guy south. The guy finds the manuscript. He starts reading it. He finds all these entries about Arthur and the Arthurian court and what was going on and where the battles were fought and so on. But it's got a dragon in it.
And the dragon talks.
And the dragon talks.
You have been listening to the Otherworld Cottage Industries, Harvey Kubernick, Travis Edward Pike interview, part 6. Listeners and bloggers are encouraged to link to or download and share this interview with their friends and visitors with the understanding that this recording remains the property of Otherworld Cottage Industries and its content, including this permission notice, may not be edited, transcribed, or altered in any way. Your cooperation allows us to share this internet content free. Thank you.